has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. And he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. Calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse right across this land. Calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? Oh, will you ride with me? We say yes, yes, Lord, we'll ride with you. And we say, has a crown on his head, he carries a scepter in his hand, and he's leading the armies all across this land. And he's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? Oh, you ride with me. And we sing yes, yes, Lord, we'll ride with you. And we say, yes, Lord, we'll ride with you. We will stand up and fight. Yes, we will ride with the armies of heaven.
Yes, Lord.
sing, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, sing, we sing, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I
sing, yes, Lord.
We sing, yes, to you.
place of command and blessing, where brethren in unity dwell. The place where anointing oil is flowing, where we live as one.
Let's sing that again.
There is a place of command.
Anointing oil is flowing. I like that. I really hang on that because we need the anointing oil in this place this morning. Father, thank you so much. God, we need the anointing oil flowing in the church today. Not only this church, but every church that believes the name of Jesus Christ. God, there's only one way. The Word of God tells us there's a breakthrough only through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we pray this morning for that anointing, Lord. We pray for that breakthrough that only comes through that anointing where it breaks everything that is not of you, Lord, that makes us more like you, Lord. So we thank you this morning for the anointing. God, we praise you, Lord, for the anointing this morning in this place. God, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Here we are, where we are, what we're doing, Lord, at this point in time, Lord. We are only here because of the anointing has brought us here. We are only here this morning thus far because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and the credit and the glory, Lord, this morning, Lord, because here we stand, able to sing songs, able to worship you, able to break forth the word, able to do all these things because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, but we've got more to go. There's more yet to come. There's more yet to come. Until you come, Lord Jesus, there's more work to be done. So God, if we're going to accomplish anything for you, God, just like we heard about this play this morning, the drama that's forthcoming in a few weeks, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to wake up our communities, Lord God. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to wake up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to reach out to the darkness. Lord, help us. Help us do what we need to do, Lord. And so as we go to your word this morning, Lord, be with us, Holy Spirit. Lead us, lead us, lead us. In your name we pray. In your name we pray. In your name we pray. Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Go ahead, Amanda. Welcome to church. I love my church. Do you love church?
Yes.
Amen. It's kind of like the feeding trough for the barnyard animals. They run for that place. If you just tell a cattle or horses that the hay's out, they just run. And that's where we run for church, amen? We run for the feeding trough. We want to get filled and fed and nourished and ready for what is awaiting for us all in our lives, amen? Praise God. So all the hungry people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Would you open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1? Did anybody know that April 23rd is the end of the world? Have you heard about that? Yeah, it's April 23rd. I read it. There's a biblical prophecy claims the rapture is coming on April 23rd, this numerologist says. David Mead tells the UK's Daily Express newspaper that on April 23rd, the sun and the moon will be in Virgo. I don't know what that means. You know, I'm not really up on this kind of stuff, as will Jupiter, which represents the Messiah. How many know there's a lot of stuff flowing like this around our world right now? People are caught up in this and mesmerized by it and everything else. We need to be mesmerized by this and caught up in this and told what it is. Because, you know, we don't really know the hour. God has not given us the specifics. All he has told us is that it will happen. And the end is coming, and so we just need to be prepared. So when you see news like this, you know, take the word of God and write it off. Nobody knows the hour, okay? Amen. Sunday school kids gone? Okay, good. They've gone. Something else in the news is kind of intriguing as well. Founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, was really before all the government officials this week and brought before people and had to give an account. How many have a Facebook account? Quite a few these days. They go on there. The only reason why I ever went on there was to see our grandchildren. That's the only reason why I started an account there. But somebody hacked into my account and took my name and made another Russell Bates. Can you imagine? It's not only enough room for one Russell Bates in this world. And somebody else hacked in and made another one of me and took all some of my pictures and made it look like me. And I don't know what they're doing there, but I just said, that's it. I'm out. No longer Facebook for me when they start doing stuff like that. And besides, I don't want to have my Facebook out there. I want to have my face in this book. Amen? And enjoy God's word better. So anyway, this guy was brought before all these people talking about because of his bias. Did you know that he won't let anybody out there come forward who is conservative or has good values or whatever? And Mark Zuckerberg was before all these magistrate type of people, and he was telling them that he was trying to keep all the fake news out. And, of course, the fake news to him was anybody that had good news that was current conservative news. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of two ladies by the name of Diamond and Silk. Anybody heard of them? They are two ladies that put they go around speaking all through the States. It'd be nice if they come to Canada. They have some really good stuff that they talk about. Betty and I love them. Whenever they come on a news program, and a lot of news people have them in there, but their names are Diamond and Silk. Whether that's their real names or not, but that's what they go by, Diamond and Silk. If you want to go on the internet and put it in there, see if you can do a search for Diamond and Silk, you'll see these two ladies. And they have got some really good values, but Mark Zuckerberg would not allow them to come on there. Once they went on there and started talking pro-Trump, pro-government, pro-this, pro-that, against abortion and everything else, like he took them off. And so they were talking about how come you only allow all the ones on there that are against this, against that, and so forth. And so he had to give an account for all those things. As I believe that one day you and I will have to give an account for the way we stand on things. I'm pro-Jesus. I'm pro everything that he wants to do in this world, and when he leads, I follow. When he says jump, I say how high, and I go, and I just keep following him as best as I can. Our world is presently in a rock and roll state, amen? You just rock one way and then roll over to something else, and we need to stick to Jesus. With all the guns firing over there in Syria this week and happening, Russia's upset, and people are upset, and things are happening in our world. Good time to stay close to Jesus. Good time to stay close to Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go on to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I just want to read to you because I believe these verses are very important, leading us into that historical book, the book of Acts, which gives us all the background of why you and I are here, the church. The church alive, the church being present. The church is here 2018 because the book of Acts brought us here. And so as we look at the book of Acts, I believe that Jesus in those moments after the resurrection until he ascended to the right hand of the Father, very crucial time, very important time for us to understand why Jesus was still here for another 40 days in that resurrected body, speaking to his disciples and all who would listen to him. And we are told that he showed himself openly to many people. So here we have Acts chapter 1. Let me read. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. As I read that, I often wonder, like, what more could Jesus say? Like, he's been here, taught, showed, did everything, miracles, signs, wonders, all the kind of stuff that Jesus did while he was here before the crucifixion. And then afterwards, he has to teach some more. And I often wonder, what more could he say? What more could he do? So we have in our reading some of the most prolific writings and experiences and exposure of the gospel from Luke into Acts, where it's heading for them and for us. And as I look at the book of Acts, this moment in time where Christ has now finished what he came to do, and the church is being prepared for what they are to do. Do you understand that? Jesus has finished what he came to do. He was prepared. As I said last week, he went for 40 days out into the wilderness, and he was tested by the devil. Then he started his ministry. He went out and got baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist and started preaching the word of God and started going everywhere through signs and wonders and miracles and teaching and parables and so forth and showing himself, as he said, in the synagogue. And he said, this day your word is fulfilled in your hearing. And I said last week, after all that Jesus did, and I often have thought of this, what more could Jesus say? What more? What else could you do, Jesus? I mean, after all, you've done it all. Died upon the cross, rose from the grave. What more could he do? What more could he teach? What more could be shown to these, his followers of Christ, than what has already been done? And I also stated last week, Peter, who said he would never desert Jesus, he would never leave Jesus, he would always stick to him, side, not me, Lord, And he would just stand right up for Jesus. But after Jesus died upon the cross, and even after his resurrection, here he is out in a boat. Even after he saw Jesus resurrected, he's out in a boat fishing, back at the fishing trade. And I like this about Jesus, because Jesus intervened. Yeah. Aren't you glad he intervened with you where you are in your life? That, you know, you could do all you want. You could go out in the fishing trade. You could do all your life stuff and everything else. But aren't you glad when Jesus intervenes? When Jesus intervenes, things happen like going to Bible college. You know, you could end up at Bible college when Jesus intervenes in your life. You know, here I was 37 years old at Bible college. I thought I was already in the groove of life. But Jesus intervened and told me, no, this is the place you're going to go. And so I went to Bible college. But Jesus intervened. And if this is one of the leaders of the church, which Peter is, if one of the leaders of the church is back in the fishing trade, Jesus needs to intervene and say some deep things. It was critical for Jesus to get him back on track. If you ever get off track, it's very critical for you to get back on track. And there's only one person who's going to get you back on track, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very crucial. If you are off track right now, ask Jesus to intervene. Come back into my life, Jesus, and get me back to the place where I need to be. So we follow him, and no matter how tough it gets, we follow him. Amen, George?
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Al said this morning that we should take those pews and put padding on the end of them. Amen. Would you endorse that? Airbags, yes. Something like that. Yeah, anything to cushion the fall. Praise God. I love church. How about you? It's just fun to be in church. Hallelujah. So here's Jesus intervening with Peter. And as I said last week, he's cooking fish on the shore by Tiberias. And Peter's out there fishing, and no fish at all. And he's a leader of the movement. He's a leader of what Jesus started. He was one of his three key guys that always were with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Always there, stuck with them close by. And here's one of his guys back there fishing. And so that's why he called him out. And Jesus said to him three times, "Do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Jesus, I love you," he said. Three times. "Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. Get back to where you need to be. Feed them, tend to them, lead them," is what Jesus must have been giving into the heart of Peter. You got to get back on track. This is where you're supposed to be, Peter. You know, Peter, you know, you ever get down and discouraged? It happens to the best of us, doesn't it? We get down and discouraged. But Jesus wanted Peter back up. This is not a time to be down and discouraged. Amen? Peter may have been discouraged, but Jesus wanted him encouraged. And Peter may have been doubting, but Jesus wanted to replace that doubt with faith. Faith in God, what he's doing. And same with us today. You need to stay up. You need to stay up. You know, I know things go on in our life. Tragedies happen and all kinds of stuff, but stay up. Stay up. Amen? Stay up. I'm not talking about putting a false smile on your face and coming into church like nothing's going on in your life. Things go on in our life. We all have go through this life at the same time. We're all facing difficulties. Maybe you this week, maybe somebody else next week, maybe me the week after. But we all go through stuff. But stay up. Stay up. The best place for us is when we face all this stuff is to go to church. Get close to Jesus. Stick close to him. Stay on track and listen to the voice of the Master. We've got to be on the up and up. I've always determined that I, as a pastor, I want to stay up. You need a pastor who's up. Amen. Amen? You need a pastor who's up. I don't want to come in here and just kind of, "Well, I don't feel like preaching today. You know, don't have any message for you, so might as well go home. You know, you're not very good looking anyway." And, you know, Betty and I, we visit a lot of churches when we go on vacation, and we always try to get to church. We hardly ever stay away from any place on a Sunday. But I listen to the pastor, because being a pastor, I listen to them. I listen to them give the announcements. I listen to them talk. I listen to them preach and all that. And I can turn to them, because of my heart as a pastor, I can say to Betty, they're going through something right now. You know, they said some mean things to the congregation. They're facing something in their life, and they're taking it out on people. You know, some pastors do that. And I've always determined in my life that, you know, it doesn't matter what's happening in my box in my life. When I come into this pulpit, I'm going to stay up. I want to preach up. I want to lift you up. I want to get you encouraged. I want to get you going and keep focused on Jesus. If I don't do that, probably a good reason you won't do it. And the reason why Jesus went to Peter and said, Peter, you've got to be up. You've got to be up. This is not a time to be fishing. You've got to stay up. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep going because people are watching you. Peter, I brought you along with me. Peter, James, and John. Everywhere I went, remember I went in there, healed that house? I took you three. You've got to be up, Peter. You've got to be facing the life that you're going through. You've got to stay up. You've got to feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Stay in love with me is what he was trying to get across to Peter. And so you and I have got to stay up. Because people look to leaders. They're looking to leaders. They're looking to Peter, who's out of the post. He's the first racehorse going along. People are watching him. If he's back fishing, then what does that say to the others? You know, well, Peter's fishing. And that's how people look at it. So if Peter is doubting and confused and discouraged, what will that do to the others? Peter's a leader. Pastors are leaders. Board members are leaders. It's important to get that pout look off our face. Amen. And smile. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's hard sometimes to smile, but smile. We used to tell the kids, you know, there was a song we used to sing, smile a while and give your face a rest. Raise your hands to the ones you love the best. You ever heard that song? We used to sing that with the kids. And one guy stood up one time and says, do you know what? It takes only 7 muscles in your face to smile, but it takes, you know, dozens and dozens of smiles to get in that pout on or that mean look on our face. So, you know, give your face a rest. Put that smile on there. Amen. Come on, just put it on. Make it really easy for you. Praise God. You know, I don't want to get off track. Any one of us could get off track. Isn't that right? You ever been off track? We've been off track at times, all of us. We need to stay on track and stay focused because Jesus has got something ready for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Jesus is coming back on April 23rd, but he could come back on April 23rd. You know, I think that he's going to just miss that day anyway because somebody said he's coming back. So I'll show you. Every time somebody points out a date, he doesn't come back on that date. He's coming back when least expected, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. But I just think that we, you and I, need to get deep in Jesus so it's no longer you and I that lives, but Christ that lives in us. So everything that they did, everything that we do is to encourage or feed sheep. That's why the church is here, to feed sheep. Feed people when they come in. Let them know who Jesus is. Let them know this Jesus loves them and they need in turn come back and receive that love and let that love flow in their hearts and their lives. That's the Great Commission. That Great Commission is not just for pastors, even though you'll hear it at Bible College, Andrea, you'll hear the Great Commission often, Matthew chapter 28, but it's not just for pastors. It's for the church. It's for the church. And as we go to the book of Acts, that Peter is a very crucial part of the church life, and therefore he has got to stay on track, got to stay on track and close to the resurrected Christ. Can you say amen? So these, as I look at these first 3 verses in the book of Acts, they are like a cereal bowl. And I like, you know, breakfast. Breakfast, they say, is the most important meal of the day. Yeah, and, you know, to get us going, get us charged up. A lot of people miss breakfast, and by 12 or 11 o'clock, they're dragging their heels. And I think breakfast is very important. So as I look at these verses up here of Acts chapter 1, it's like breakfast. It's like a cereal bowl. I don't know about you, but I like to throw anything and everything into my bowl for breakfast. You know, a lot of people, they have oatmeal. Anybody like oatmeal? I like oatmeal, but I find oatmeal by itself kind of drab. It's kind of blasé, you know. It needs something to spice it up. So I take my porridge, and I begin to add in some pumpkin seeds, and then I throw in some sunflower seeds, and I put in some almonds, and I put in some flaxseed and some ground chia powder, and I put some strawberries on top, and then I put it in the microwave, cook it up a little longer after I've heated up that porridge and everything else, put some milk on it, and then I sit down, and my dog watches me, and I just have my good bowl of cereal, and it's all filled with all kinds of good things. Hallelujah. I just like good things in there. You know, I just don't want to have a drab bowl of cereal, and I believe that that's what we see up here in Acts chapter 1. You take a bowl, and you start putting stuff in there, and there's all kinds of things here to look at. It's like everything is there, everything but the kitchen sink and those 3 verses of which God is trying to get across to us something. And I believe that those 3 verses are power-packed, power-packed. And they've got so much for us and to digest there. It's a meal and a half for sure, and it's double good for us. Can you say amen? So that first sentence is incredible with the information it contains. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? Like, that's a meal and a half. Just all that stuff to look at there. And I said, God, what will I preach on? There's so much there. So he said, well, maybe take another week. Okay, I'll do that. Is that okay if I do another week? Good. Amen. Wednesday night at Bible study, we are doing a wonderful Bible study on the case for Christ and by Lee Strobel. And I learned something new last week at Bible study, which, you know, as I come out to head up the Bible study, but yet as I learn, we're all learning together on Wednesday night. And one of the things which I really found unique last week was that, you know, a lot of people, they ask, you know, but the Bible, it's, you can't trust it and all that. Well, you know, what these guys do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were writing biographies. And it's different from a biography of what we would write as a biography today. The biography they would write would be about the life of Jesus in those 3 years that he took the ministry of, is basically where they were. Not much said about his younger life, the birth of Christ in Matthew and Luke only, but everything else is basically treated from those 3 years of ministry that Jesus was here. Now, Lee Strobel was confronted by one of the people that he researched when he was the atheist that he was. And as he went around, and the guy that talked to him about the biographies of the Gospels, and he said, you know, if you're writing something of which your name was included, wouldn't you write good stuff about yourself? Yeah, I'd put in, Betty, like if you and I were writing about stuff, we'd put in all our good things, yeah? Don't leave out the bad. Like, and so as you get into the Gospels, you would think that, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would just write all the good stuff about everybody that was happening. But every time you go in there, we read about Peter back fishing. Like, what on earth are you doing, Peter? We read about Peter doing all these kinds of crazy things. And so many times Jesus said to the disciples, oh, you have little faith. Come on. Where's your faith? And he's prodded them and pulled them and everything else. Here they were out with the feeding of the 5,000. Said, Jesus, look at all the people. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like, what can we do? Like, you know, and they're showing their weaknesses and everything else. And so if I was writing a biography, I would have said, I was right along there with Jesus. Yeah, I had the faith to believe for the miracle. You know, I would have said all kinds of good things about me. But these flaws and everything else are shown in there, which is really showing us that the Gospels are true replications of what really happened back in those days. So thank God. You see, the devil often lies to us, and he would tell us that, you know, you can't believe the Bible, that it lies, or those controversies, or those confusion, or those contradictions that are in the Bible. They're too hard to accept. And I have faced those many times as I sit down to study the Word of God. The enemy just likes to speak into your ear and say, you believe this kind of stuff that you're reading? But I just stay on track. I stay up. I stay looking at the Word of God. And I say, Holy Spirit, you need to lead me. Get me past all these wars and battles that I'm going through to prepare this message. Get me up, Holy Spirit. Protect my mind, my heart, my soul, as I prepare for another message on a Sunday. I want to be like Jesus. So Luke ensures that every detail he has made so far is very real and very credible. Everything he says can be backed up in history. You can trust Dr. Luke and what he is saying about the Savior Jesus and what he is doing in ministry to the church that is his followers. And Wednesday night in our Bible study, we looked at two portions of Scripture, and another portion of Scripture which really takes us back to where we are in Luke, Acts chapter 1, is going back to Luke chapter 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative or biography or a writing of these things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. We need to know the uncertainty that you and I are instructed today, that you may know that uncertainty. Like we will see in Acts chapter 2 in a little while, that God wants to get through everything to you and I. As Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and they were all questioning the filling of the Holy Spirit, Peter said, "This is that which is fulfilled by Joel the prophet." So, this morning, if I could just give you three things in that cereal bowl of those first words from Acts chapter 1. Could I do that this morning? Those three things I want to give to you this morning. The former account I made, O Theophilus. Those are the words I'm going to take this morning, and that is going to be the message for the next 4 hours. Okay? So, the former account. He's talking about Luke chapter 1. And, of course, the whole book of Luke that he wrote. Dr. Luke is a documentarian type of a guy, as any doctor would be. Anybody like doctors? I'm glad Dr. Kulathangam's not here. I'm glad Dr. Dehimbo's not here. I'm glad other doctors are not here this morning so we can say this. But I think that doctors are really cool guys, but they are very documented. They go through and they write everything down. Like, you know, doctors, they sit there and they, you know, when I'm talking to my doctor, they have computers now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What else do you feel? You know, they're typing away. Like, are you putting my life in there? You know, and talk to the doctors. You know, they tell us all these words that if you don't do this, you may have this, or, you know, if you'll have that. And I just like doctors. You know, I think doctors are really cool. My doctor, using this computer, she talks to me like, as you get older, they say your cholesterol gets worse. Anybody ever have any problems with your doctor and cholesterol? Would they say that? And my doctor brings up this page for cholesterol. Now, she says, look at my computer screen. And I look at this thing and I see all these faces. And she says, see those, you know, 84 happy faces? That's where you are right now with your cholesterol. See those 16 sad faces? Like, I'm looking at this screen. Okay, what are you trying to tell me? Those sad faces are your life. That's how much cholesterol you've got. And she says, you don't want to get any more sad faces. Okay, doc. Anybody else have a doctor like that? Like, you know, you don't have a doctor? Well, mine's gone. You know, maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. No more smiley faces. That, you know, I don't know what the next doctor will have, but I think it was kind of cool. But anyway, I guess that's a good illustration for your cholesterol, is to look at the smiley faces and the sad faces, and this is your health. That's the smiley faces. You want to keep smiling. Yes, I do want to keep smiling. But oh, well. So Dr. Luke here says the former account, in the former account of some translations, it's put in the Greek, the proton or the logon or the logos, and Jesus used the same word in the first, where he talked to that rich young ruler, and he said to the rich young ruler, what's the first commandment? And so that's really the same word he's using, the first account I made to you, Theophilus. And so it's the former, the first or former account is very important. If you don't have the Gospel of Luke, will the book of Acts mean anything to you? So we need to understand that there's a former account, and Luke was bringing attention to the former account. You've got to go back. If you're going to understand what I'm about to say in the book of Acts, you've got to go back to the former account, Theophilus, and understand that this is where Jesus came into the world, born of a virgin. All this story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the biography, the background, the teaching, the ministry, all the things he did, the disciples he gathered to himself, all these things. You need the former account before we can go on. You need the former before we can progress. And so that's what he's trying to get across. In other words, if we are to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. A lot of people talk about Jesus. A lot of people use his name in vain and all that. But you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have all the documentation of which Luke is talking about here before you could ever press on to a deeper life in the Lord Jesus. It's very important. So the bedrock or the foundation of what he is about to say about this Jesus in Acts will only make sense when you've got the former account in light. When you know what Jesus is all about, then you will know what the church is all about. Amen? So who is this person who receives this, Theophilus? You know, I was looking through this, and a lot of people, commentators, have different opinions on this. when you get to Bible college, pull out all the commentaries. Are you awake with me? Yeah. Sorry, just go. When you get to Bible college, pull out a commentary. They'll say one thing. Then you go to another commentary. They'll say another thing. And then you go to another commentary, and they'll say another thing. And then you step back and say, And you look at all three, and then you come back here and say, I wonder. And as you hear all those commentaries into your mind, then you'll get to... Sorry, I'm just talking to Andrew for a few moments. Is that okay? But anyway, I went to one of the commentaries, and there's a fellow by the name of Robert Tourville, who is... I always like good people who do commentaries who are Pentecostal. I like Pentecostals. How about you? You know, there's a lot of people out there. They come from different organizations, different backgrounds, different churches, and so forth. And there's all kinds of different opinions on things. But if I'm going to be a Pentecostal pastor, I want to research from commentaries written by Pentecostal people, okay? So anyway, I went to Robert Tourville, who's from the Assemblies of God, and I figured that this guy's got a pretty good touch with people and being spirit-filled and all that, but he says that there's two options in this name, Theophilus. And I thought that was kind of cool. I thought the guy's name was just Theophilus. He said, Tourville says, it is thought to be a composite title for all Christians. I thought, wow, that's stretching it. How about that? It's thought to be a composite title for all Christians, so it's not confined to any one person, but a thought that this is a word for all to read. And anybody can be a Theophilus, I guess, in that sense. But a second thought is that it was actually sent to a person named Theophilus. And this is where Robert Tourville hangs his hat. And if Theophilus is an actual person, it seems like Luke desired to instruct Theophilus in the ways of the Lord, either to bring about his conversion to Jesus Christ or to edify him as a believer. Well, that's one of those things that we won't really know till one day when we get to heaven, who Theophilus was, if he was really a person or if it was just a composite part of the body of church. We won't really know. But his name means lover of God or God beloved. Theophilus. That's a pretty good name to have. You know, I think that we're all Theophiluses in that way. Are you a lover of God? Yeah. Beloved of God? Yeah. It was a common Roman name mentioned only in Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 1 here. But Theophilus, maybe he was eager to know more about Jesus Christ. I believe there's a lot of people eager to find out more about God. I believe there's people out there who are searching. They don't really know yet that they're searching, but you know, when you mention God or something else, their ears kind of shoot up and they want to hear more about God. And so Luke made it clear that to understand Jesus, the story's got to be told and continued into the resurrection, into the ascension and onward. Now the third one, the person who wrote, this is interesting. The former account I made, O Theophilus. This is where some people who don't trust the Bible get really upset about things. You know, when they see those words, I made. I told you it was written by a man. I told you. You see. They say those things to us, right? When Luke would say, I made. Well, I took those two words from the New King James Version, I made, and I looked at the other translations. New Living Translation says, I told you. The former account, I told you. In the Amplified, it says, I prepared. The former account, I prepared. Or in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, or the NIV, if anybody has that, I wrote. In the New American Standard Version, it says, I composed. How often have we heard someone who does not believe in God say to us, well, you know, if man wrote the Bible, then how can you really trust that? And of course, that's something we're dealing with on Wednesday night. See, if man wrote the Bible, man is flawed. Man is impartial. Man is biased. You know, if I was to say, hey, guys, after church today, let's go to a restaurant. You know, somebody say, Scores, let's go to St. Hubert. Well, oh, no. Louise, do you ever have that problem? Yeah, and you, where do you go? Because everybody wants to go to a different place. And, you know, I've always been in the place where I don't really care where we go. You know, you can say any restaurant name. You know, the reason why I go to a restaurant or anywhere with anybody in our church is for fellowship. I could care what's there in the food like that. I'm not there for the food. I go for you. And I like to sit, look at you and hear you and talk to you and get to know more about you. Amen. So that's why we don't ever put it out to say what restaurant will we go to. But, you know, man is flawed. Man is opinionated. And we've got all of our opinions on all kinds of stuff, you know, and it's true. But I always say, let God be God and man be man. Like, there's a difference between us and God. But if God is desiring to get something through to this world that is his love letter to all of mankind, I really believe that God could get one book through of all the millions of books there are, as I said last Wednesday night, in all the libraries, all the places, all the universities, every book in this whole wide world written by all kinds of man. I believe that God could get one book through to us. If he's God, he could get one book through to us. And so Luke doesn't say, like, you know, an angel came down and moved my pen and I wrote this so we could get the angel the glory for this writing. But Luke is saying, I write this as it comes. I'm documenting this as it comes. I give it to you as I see what Jesus is doing. I'm seeing and feeling, and so I'm writing. I'm documenting this as a doctor would do. He's writing this all down, and it pertains to Jesus. All that Jesus began to do and teach, he says. That's the message that Luke is trying to get across. We've got to understand that. We must have enough faith to believe that God spoke in times past, that he speaks today. The Bible is alive because God is in it. Amen? That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And that's why Luke is very concerned about the Son. He's watching him. He's writing about him. He's documenting all about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. And then I went over to 2 Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and I found all kinds of neat things that Peter had to say. This guy who was down and fishing and everything, but now up. He writes things that are up. He said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I like that when he said that. He knew where everything that was coming from God came from the Holy Spirit. You know, we Pentecostals, if anybody, should know the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We shouldn't see it as anything too difficult for God to move somebody to write something about what they're sensing in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible is the inerrant word of the living God. It's perfect and true. It's a fine line. And I find it so great to know him from the Word of God. So here we are in those first few words. There's a narrative account of Jesus, a person who receives it, Theophilus, and a person who wrote about, and you and I get to read it today. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I was thinking about the church as we came today to membership, and we're talking about a little bit of, you know, it's cool to be in the church today. It's a great thing to be in the church, and I look back, and I'm doing Wednesday night Bible study with Lee Strobel and the Case for Christ, and look at all these things that happen in the life of the disciples. And as you go into the Case of Christ, we're really tearing apart some of the things of why we believe in the Word of God. And as I look at this, there's all kinds of neat situations that we can get ourselves into in the same way they did. But as I look back at that feeding of the 5,000, that was a tremendous time. I mean, Jesus was pouring out this teaching, a tremendous teaching that the people just did not want to leave when he was teaching. And he was pouring out these words, and they noticed that time was going on. The day was becoming lengthened into the evening. And they realized that these people have been here all day. They haven't had anything to eat. And they realized, and the disciples, of course, and they went, well, what are we going to feed them? Like, come on, Jesus, 5,000. You know, I looked at that, and going back to that story and thinking that how often do we as Christians get to the place of Jesus, like, come on, look at the city of Cornwall. Look at my neighbor. Like, look at all these things. And we think that, you know, I really believe that sometimes we lack so much faith that we can't believe for what Jesus could do in our communities and people around us. I just think that we're lacking so much. As I looked at that story, I said, Jesus, you know, you're in our midst. We really believe that. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply them, feed 5,000 people, that's good enough for me. I mean, he can do anything on our streets where we live, where people around us. He can do anything if only we will believe. But you know why they don't get saved? Perhaps sometimes we don't believe they can. And so we won't go. We won't do. We won't ask. We won't, you know, we need to get people here for that drama in a few weeks. We need to ask them. Do you believe that somebody will get saved on that night? Do you, those two nights we're having the drama, do you believe that something could happen in the next little while? Do you really believe that, that could happen in this church, in this community, in this time, that your neighbor could get saved and something terrific could happen? Do you believe that? You see, because I believe when you look at the book of Acts, the reason why Jesus was here for 40 days, the resurrected Jesus, was to prepare the church to rise up in faith and believe for miracles to happen. And that's why you look at the book of Acts and they were turning places upside down for the glory of God because they just believed that anything could happen because Jesus was with them. Amen? So I really believe that Jesus was preparing the church. He was getting the church prepared for what was coming. He was preparing all of his church. And I believe he's preparing the church even today. Today, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Are you prepared with the Word of God? Are you up? Are you smiling? Have you got the Word of God in your heart? Are you up? Are you encouraged? Are you blessed? Are you have in that walk of faith? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do? Because it's a way of life in Jesus Christ. Just because the church doesn't make us a Christian, you know, as we think of that, when we come to church, we think the church is going to make us a Christian, but the church doesn't make you a Christian. You make yourself a Christian by making yourself get into that place of the Word of God. And we need to keep going in that way. Praise God. Christianity is a way of life. It's a way of thinking. It's a mindset. It's a thing that you and I live in. He dwells in us. We must allow him to make us the church in the dark, dark world that you and I live in. So we are members not just of a church body today. Just because we have a car doesn't make us something superior, something better. Just because we're part of a body. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ is why you and I are here today. Thank God for the entity of the church and the church membership and all that. But people have got to see a difference in our life. Amen. So are you prepared? Are you prepared? Jesus prepared them. Are you prepared? Would the worship team come, please? Praise God. I always think that things happen in the spur of a moment. And God, I wasn't ready for that. You know, somebody asks a question, somebody does something, you know, somebody walks up to me and says, where's your church? You're like, wow, I wasn't ready for that. Like, I didn't expect them to ask where my church was or what the church is all about. But all of a sudden, they ask a question. Are you ready for those moments? Are you prepared? Are you constantly engaged in Jesus Christ to get you ready for those moments? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you for your word this morning. Just those few words that we looked at in Acts chapter 1. There's something, Lord, that's brewing in the Word of God. And God, we want to uncover it. We want to take the lid off it. Yes. We want to see what you're speaking to the church today. Lord, so help us right now, Lord, to digest all that you have. Wondering why that Luke would write these things. Lord, help us to delve into them and search the Scriptures, and we will know the truth and the things that you have for us. God, help us this morning. You prepared them back then. That's why you stayed around for another 40 days after the resurrection. You were preparing them for what was to come. And I really believe that in the world right now, you are preparing the church for the things that are ready to come. Lord, we are in dark, dark days. We have a prime minister that doesn't seem to be for the church. We are living dark times. We are seeing all around our world right now turmoil. If there was ever a time for the church to be strong and mighty and prepared with the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, it's right now. So God, prepare us. Prepare us. Hallelujah. 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 Are you ready, church? Do you want more? Do you want more in Jesus? Do you want more? More of Jesus? More of the depth of the Holy Spirit? More of what he can do in our lives? Hallelujah. Then pray this prayer. Father, I want more. Prepare me for today, for tomorrow, for next week, for what you're going to do. How you're going to do it. I just want to be part of where you're going, what you're saying, how you minister, what you're going to do. Help me to be prepared. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have you got a song on preparation? I'm being prepared. You got a song?
Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Well, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
You know, I think this song was written by senior citizens without spot or wrinkle. You know, but every one of us can be without spot or wrinkle because of the washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. Father, go with us. God, we just want to be prepared. That's all we want. We want to do something for you, Lord. Those words ring in our heart. Go into all the world. Preach the good news. Baptize them. And I will be with you everywhere, even to the end of this age. Thank you, Jesus, for the great commission. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for the word of God. Now go with us, Lord. We just love you so very much. And thank you, Lord, even for the snow outside. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.